Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson. It is the Spring Planting Tour brought to you as a service by Novozymes, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate the North Dakota Farmers Union. They are hosting us today as we make our travels around today in the Jamestown area. As soon as I get done here, I'm going to be hopping back on Highway 281, making my way up to the Devil's Lake area, looking at farm fields in between. And so tomorrow, KDLR, then off to Langdon, then off to Grafton, and that's going to be wrapping up our week. But I'm still not as busy as this guy sitting next to me here. His name is Mark Watney, president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, hosting me, and you guys had a big spiel today. I don't know if that was just an internal thing, but you've been busy.
Well, we do an employee university where we walk through all the stuff we're part of to try to get everybody and all the new employees into the same page. But okay. It's quite an event, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. And I took the opportunity. I got here early because we had a little issue yesterday, so we wanted to make sure that was all fixed. And I got a chance, and I've been in this building before, but I really just wanted to take an opportunity to look at some of the history that you have on this one hallway that's kind of the center portion of the building. And you've got things that date back to the early 1900s. I think you just even the charter certificate that you guys got from Texas. Is that right?
Yeah, Point, Texas was where National Farmers Union was originated. Yeah,
that was crazy. You've got an old gas pump back there just going down the line. You've got, I'm not sure why we wanted Harry Truman's photo and autograph, but Harry Truman is up there. So it's all good. But the history of it is just fascinating. So if you ever get a chance, I don't know if people ever come here for tours or anything, but I just think that hallway is really cool, especially if you're in agriculture or anything a part of Farmers Union.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a lot of history. We're approaching 100 years in a couple more
years.
That's
crazy to think
about. So, been around, and it's just a good organization, and we really maintain that grassroots. So people like being with us and working with us. It's great.
You have another hallway here, and I don't want to make it sound like you guys got the Taj Mahal, but you have some agricultural paintings and some artwork in that hall. And I was asking you about it. I'm sure you're probably not the curator of it, but it's been a collection of artwork. I just think it's fascinating, the big pictures and the paintings that you have.
Yeah, when we remodeled this building about 11 years ago, we had a design team out of Fargo do a bunch of work and gather us a bunch of stuff. And it does. It looks really nice and builds upon the image we're trying to portray.
Absolutely. It's a fun place to check out. And then I have to give kudos to the restaurant in Washington, D.C. I didn't get to go, but Jamie, who is here in the Jamestown area, Jamie Dickerman, our other farm director, was just at Washington Watch. And I told him, I said, you have to go eat at the Farmers Union restaurant. And he did. He said it was a great experience. Unfortunately, he's by himself. But that's radio people. They're kind of creepy anyway. But yeah. He sent pictures of the meal, and it was fantastic. And he had a great time. And I think your name is on the menu, too, and just a cute or nice little message on there.
Oh, yeah. So we're really sell the concept that it's from U.S. Family Farm Foods and farmer-owned. And that's really key. People like to see that.
And that, I had forgotten. I think you had told me before, and I'm sure Mick has mentioned it before, but that is one of seven restaurants. I was like, oh, is that the restaurant? He's like, which one? And I was like, oh, there's more.
Seven, number eight's opening in September, and a production center is opening in September.
Oh,
so we're
going to
have a lot of stuff happening out in the area.
And is all of that in the, like, around the Washington, D.C. and the Eastern, or are you kind of trying, are you going to branch out?
There's three in D.C. proper. There's a couple in Virginia. There's one in Maryland, one up by Pennsylvania. So that's a little bit of a branch out. And but we might. We're going where people know and where we think we have the most success. Hopefully we'll grow outside of there eventually.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I can tell you right now, it was great food, a great time. So we got a lot of topics to talk about. I don't want to run out of time here. I got to check my clock. All right. I got about 10 minutes here, less than that. A couple of things I wanted to talk about. First of all, in a recent issue of the NDFU magazine, the Farmers Union, do you call it a magazine? Is that what that by definition
Union Farmer.
Union Farmer
magazine,
The May issue, you were talking about the farm bill in there. And I'm sure that deep down you have some positivity, but whether it was going to get done for the farm bill this year, you were kind of questioning whether that was likely. Although now it seems within the last week or so, I've been getting a lot more positive messages from the folks, especially some of the commodity groups that I visit with, that things are at least progressing. Have you changed your perspective a little bit? I mean, there's actually some things getting written on paper now, which is a big deal.
I'm a fairly optimistic guy, so I think there's a chance that we can get it. And, of course, these recesses and when they go home and when they come back is key to this development. But the Senate has kind of two versions. One is a Democrat, one's Republican, where they enhance some crop insurance and so forth. Stabenow's got maybe a plan of enhancing crop insurance and then making you pick between ARC, PLC. And then, of course, the House has a version. So when we really get down to it, it's going to come down to the dollars. Can we get enough in the baseline? What are we going to do with the money in the IRA, which is supposed to be dedicated to conservation? And will they be able to free up enough money to get all the things done? If that can happen, if we can find the dollars, I think it'll get done for sure. If we have struggle with the dollars, then they're going to have to pick and choose, and that's where the negotiation gets hard.
So a lot has been made about the fact of the Farm Bill not being able to get done during a presidential year, a political year like this. But then I heard a story the other day that a fair portion of the Farm Bills that have been done in recent times had actually been done, maybe not finished then, but after the cycle had been completed in the election, the Farm Bill was soon passed after that. So is that kind of what you're thinking, the same thing, too? Is that where we're going to follow trends in the past?
I think you can get it done in a presidential year. The real issue was trying to get around the funding mechanisms. And when the House was finally able to move and get some bipartisanship on where dollars were going to go on budgetary stuff, that changed the world. Had they not gotten that done, we wouldn't be getting the attention on the Farm Bill. So that was huge. And the fact now that they doesn't appear like they're going to remove the leader of the House,
right?
There's probably paths forward for some other things. They're a little more divisive to get through. Farm Bill's not that divisive in a sense of partisanship. It's more on where that money goes from SNAP to Farm Bill to crop right. insurance.
I was visiting some folks. I want to switch gears a little bit because you had another article that you've written recently. I haven't had a chance to see yet. I want to be able to read it. But it involves trains and transportation. And I think it's hugely important. Talk about what's going on there and why you wrote the article that you did. Where do we find it? Is that coming out?
Or it's coming out. It'll be out in the what we call the June 1 issue. That's when it gets sent out. Okay. Arrives in the houses. So the Surface Transportation Board is the regulatory body that oversees the rail. And we've been meeting with them for probably 6-7 years now. And telling them there's a challenge here with really only 4 Class 1 rails carrying 95% of all commodities. And if you draw a map, you almost can put a cross in the country and you can see where they all are located. They very little overlap. Mm-hmm. So North Dakota's a captive shipper along with the states around us, which means we kind of have to take what they give us. And if you look at what our cost of shipping's been doing, it's been going up dramatically. And in farmers, it's really hard for farmers to understand right. and then make consumers understand because we pay that shipping both ways. But it comes out of the price of our grain before we're paid, and it comes out of the price of the goods before we pick them up. So it's kind of a hidden cost, but I would suggest it's the most expensive cost on our farm.
So it's a vital issue. So when does this come to a head? When can we start to work on this?
So the Surface Transportation Board took some steps, have a meeting actually tomorrow with National Farmers Union and them to see what this all means. But what they're doing is they're trying to shore up that the cars aren't being artificially delayed. The availability of pickup and drop-offs are more accurate. The ability of another Class 1 carrier to come in to an area if it's not being serviced well enough. And those are the beginning steps of the measurements that will help us determine whether or not we're getting treated at least reasonably within a concentrated market.
I think it's interesting, though, the hard part is, and whether you're a proponent for oil pipelines or not, a lot of the rails have to be because they're not being utilized as much as, and I don't know whether you're for it or against it, but it certainly takes up a lot of rail space, right, in comparison to...
It definitely does. And, of course, our organization, we support, kind of all kinds of transportation. We support pipelines.
Right.
Now, what you run in them and all that debate's a little different, right. And how you get access to land, that's different. But the concept of pipelines is an efficient model. But they're still hauling quite a bit of this product on rail, and it's competing. And then, of course, the question really is, to me... What's it take to ship a pound 1,000 miles?
Right.
That should be the same regardless of where you're at, or at least within a reasonable amount based on what a rail can run for. I just don't think it's, when you have competition, that it should be cheaper than when you have a captive market.
One crazy thing, and I saw it recently, and it, I don't know if it was necessarily related to this, but it showed in history where all the rail track used to be, and it was all over the place, all over the U.S. And now where you look at it, where it is today, and it's very selective where it's at, Is train transportation, is that going to continue to decline, do you think?
Well, I think it might. We just don't know. Of course, that'll come back to the antitrust laws. If they believe that somebody's getting a distinctive advantage, they may rule against a merger. But, you know, you got Canadian Pacific looking at mergers. You got other things changing. You got some rails. In fact, we got a couple of elevators losing CP service now to Canada. So all this stuff matters. And, of course, farmers, we paid for the expansion of the size of these elevators so they could load the 110-car rails. That was paid by the farmers themselves.
Right.
And now they shut down the locals, so now you're hauling farther. The prices are up, and you paid for the assets to make it more efficient. It seems a little odd, but, you know, kind of the world we live in.
Well, you got to be careful because you'll end up with like the livestock industry. It was just done at the Aberdeen livestock market and a lot of North Dakota trucks because West Fargo doesn't have the cattle yard anymore. So it's like you got to bring your cattle further, and it's less points. Costs are going to continue to go up. So
that's exactly right. So you can actually get on competitive in a marketplace if you can't get it to the market.
All right, Mark, well, I appreciate the time. I can talk to you for another 10 minutes. But before you go, anything else we should know?
Just we're out there working. We're going to get this farm bill over the top if we can. And we're hoping farmers have a great spring's work. I know there's better moisture, and the people are
almost too much moisture
in parts of the state. And, of course, it's still dry in parts. Yes. That's the way it goes.
Absolutely. Well, Mark Watney, president of the North Dakota Farmers Union, thank you for letting me camp out. Appreciate it.
Thank you.